Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our service this morning. And if we have visitors with us, a special welcome to you. And I would like to welcome you, and I would like to greet you with the words we find in Ephesians, where Paul writes, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you have blessed us with. We thank you for the summer that you have blessed us with. And we thank you for all the crops that are growing, the trees that are green, the grass that is growing. And we thank you for the beautiful world that you have made, that you have given us to live in, to work in, and on a morning like this, the privilege of being in God's house, where we can worship you, we can sing, we can pray, and we can learn from the scriptures that you have given us. And we ask that your presence will be with us this morning, that you will lead us in our prayers and our thoughts. And Lord, we pray that we will all have prepared our hearts for what will be said this morning, the scripture that will be read, and the message that you have that we will be presented with. Lord, we pray also for those who cannot be here. We pray for the sick, the elderly in hospitals and seniors' homes. We pray especially for those who are struggling with their faith, who may be spiritually weak, and we ask for opportunities to strengthen them and encourage them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We will now have two songs.
Take the red book, turn to page 4. There shall be showers of blessing. Page number 4.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from the sky falling, but for the showers we need. There shall be showers of blessing.
Number 31, Come We That Love the Lord.
In Matthew chapter capital 22, first saßen darlich, du wird Jesus eine Frau gestalt. Du wird an gefragt, Meister, wohnt es dort geratste gebaut im Gesatz? What is it, ob Englisch wird einer sein, which is the first and greatest commandment in the law? Nur dass Jesus gebaptized wird von John the Baptist im Jordan River, dann fangt er an zu predigen und seht, hey, tut Buße, denn das Himmelreich ist nahe hierbei gekommen. Und wir lesen dort in Matthäus 5, Vers 17. Und nur dort wählte er sich 5 von seinen Aposteln. Und er ging mit ihnen in das ganze Land und predigte das Evangelium. Und er war sehr bekannt, auf Englisch sagt er, he was famous. Und er war sehr bekannt in all diesen Städten. Das Menschen, er hat die Menschen gesund merken, aber Menschen kamen noch nur an, wenn sie hatten Hunger für das Brot, was er entbringen wollte. Aber in seinem Wandel, in Matthäus Kapitel 5, sagte doch, da kämen Sünder, die nicht in Hunger haben für das Wort. Die kämen am Kritisieren. Und wenn er in Matthäus 22 lesen lässt, und wir da lesen dann, da war ein Glas in Vers 36, wo am eine Frau wird gestalt. Aber diese Frau kam von des Hadesäer. Da werden das Sadduzäer und der Pharisäer, die kamen nur an, nicht den Wut anzuhören, aber zu kritisieren. Und sie hätten alles, was sie können, Fehler fingen mit an, dort zu an können, was zu sagen. Und das wäre ein bisschen interessant, die Sadduzäer, die glaubten nicht an die Auferstehung. So sagt es in Matthäus 22, Vers 23. Die Pharisäer, die glaubten an die Auferstehung, aber die wollten nichts mit Jesus zu tun haben. Sie dachten, sie wären so gut, sie würden sich so gut merken, dass sie einstaubt wären im Himmel. Sie können sich selbst dann anbringen, sie brauchten nicht Jesus Christus, dass er würde sterben für ihn. Und sie brauchten auch nicht Buße tun, denn sie hatten nicht Fehler. Sie glaubten nicht an den Buße. Sie wären so gut, sie hatten keine Fehler, was sie würden mit dem Tausch tun. So diese zwei Gruppen, die kamen da nur Jesus. Und die Frauen eine Frau, dass sie am können tausaten, mit was sie sehen. Und die erste Gruppe, die am kämen, als wir in der Sade sehen, und die Frauen am, was ist das Wichtigste gebaut in der Gesatz? Was ist das Beste? Nee, du hast einen Betrügung. Nee, die Frauen nicht. Dort werden die Pharisäer, was an dort Frauen leiden. Fair dort kam die Pharisäer und Frauen an und sie Frauen hatten eine Frau vor allem, was hat zu tun mit Befreien. Die Pharisäer, die kamen nur an und Frauen an, wenn ein Mann was eine Frau hat, wenn er gestorben ist, dann wird die Gesatz sehen, dann so, dass der Mann seine Bruder soll diese Frau zur Früh nehmen, sonst hat er nicht allein wir. Zora frøen zam von der zeven breide wirn und der alle diese früte frühhorden. Wenn ihr alle gestorben wären, wem's früh wird sie, wem's, wer wird er umt sein an der Auferstehung? Mir ist ein bisschen interessant, die Sadduzäer, die glaubten nicht an die Auferstehung, aber hier frühen sie an eine Frau von der Auferstehung. Wer wird, wem's früh wird sie dann sein, von diesen sieben Männern, was sie hat, der umt sie hat, hier auf dieser Erde? Well, Jesus gibt dann eine Antwort. First dadurch, du sagst, hey, in der Auferstehung, du wirst nichts sonst sein, als befrieren oder frieren. Du wirst wie alle sein, das Engel im Himmel. Und mit dieser Antwort wissen sie nicht, was sie sollen sein. Und dann kamen die Pharisäer. Und sie dachten, sie würden ein Beter tun. Sie nehmen sich einen Schriftgelehrer an, oder einen Lawyer, dass er wird Jesus Christus eine Frau stellen. Ein Lawyer ist so ausgelehrt, dass er kann den Nächsten, was Frauen, zum Fehler fingen, und was er hat getan. So sie dachten, sie hatten ein Beter getan, nun würden sie was Fehler fingen mit Jesus, dass sie ihm können zusagen. So die Leute kamen dann zu Jesus und die Frau haben diese Frau. Und Vers 38. Was ist das wichtigste Gebot in das Gesetz? Auf Englisch ist, which is the first and greatest commandment in the law. Wenn wir von dem Gesetz denken, dann denken wir einmal von den 10 Commandments, was wir fingen in dem Alten Testament. Wenn wir die 10 Commandments nehmen, dann würden wir kennen, nur Gott kommen und ihn fragen, was von diesen 10 Commandments ist das Wichtigste? Die kommen alle von einer Stadt. Gott hat uns die alle gegeben. Ist da ein Commandment, was wichtiger ist als das nächste? Und das, was die Pharisäer proben zu tun, dass sie würden an was können, was freuen, dass sie an würden zusagen. Aber Jesus gibt nicht die Antwort zu den Frauen. Und Kraken don't. Was sie ihm früheren, er hat immer entweicht, eine Antwort zu geben, wo sie ihm nicht können Fehler fingen. So als der Reuer dann früheren hat, was wir das wichtigste Gesetz, das wichtigste Gebot in das Gesetz, er hat nicht eine Antwort für die Frau. Entsteht, sagt, fange ich einmal an zu reden von live. Vers 37, du sagst ja zu Ant, du sollst live haben für Gott, dienen Herrn, von ganzer Hort, von ganzem Herzen, von ganzer Seele und von ganzem Gemüte. Auf einmal fange ich an zu reden, nicht von der Frau, was sie haben am Gestalt, aber fangt an zu reden von der Leib, was sie sollen haben für Gott. Der Pharisäer und der Sadduzäer hatten keine Leib für Gott. Aber er redet auch nicht bloß zu dir. Er redet hier auch zu uns und sagt uns, wo soll unser Leib sein? Wo soll wir dort annehmen, was Gott hat uns gegeben? So dann sagt Jesus zu Ant, oder Jesus sagt zu uns, wir sollen Leib haben für Gott mit ganzer Hort, ganzer Seil und ganzer Gemüte. Das Hort und der Seil, was wir haben Gott uns gegeben. dat Wort es an uns, dat wisst, wo wir innerlich sind. Solange das Wort bumsen steht, dann haben wir Leben. Wenn es einmal still steht, dann sind wir tot. Aber Gott hat uns das Wort gegeben, und wenn Gott auf einmal einig ist, dass ans Leben zu Engel kommt, dann merkt ihr das Wort stillstehen. Aber wenn wir wieder still leben, dann sagt ihr dafür, dass wir ans Wort mumpsen, dann haben wir Leben. Unser Seil, das Wort Gott an sie gegeben hat, als er den ersten Mann merken hat, in 1. Mose, Kapitel 2. Und da lesen wir, von, wo Gott einen Mann merken hat, von der Stoff von der Erde. Und dann gibt Gott an die Ohren, und dann sagt er, dann ward er ein lebendiger Wesen. He became a living soul. Und der Seil bleibt da. Und der bleibt ändert. Und der Mensch, was der Mensch gestorben hat, aber das Seil, das starf nicht. Aber Gott hat uns das Seil gegeben, und wenn wir gestorben sind, dann haben wir zwei Städten, wo das Seil kann bleiben. Eins ist Himmel, der andere ist der Hau. Ich will nicht von dort von euch reden, aber Gott hat uns das Seil gegeben. Und mit dem Seil soll die Leib haben für Gott. Für das Wort, was innerlich ist an uns, mit dem Wort soll wir auch Leib haben für Gott. Aber dann kommt es gerade. Das Wort und die Seil können wir nicht verändern. Aber das gerade ist, wir sollen Leib haben für Gott mit unseren Gedanken. Dort sagt in Vers 7, das Wort, was gebraucht ist, ist Gemüte. Dort meint das sind unsere Gedanken. Wo wir denken dann. Wo wir Dinge verstehen dann. Wo wir uns einig waren an die verschiedensten Sachen. Und dort ist, mit, wo wir können so tun, als wir wollen. Gott hat uns so gemerkt, dass wir die Freiheit haben, Dinge durchzudenken und dort tun, was dran ist, oder dort durchzudenken und wir haben die Freiheit, zu tun, was dran ist. So hat Gott uns gemerkt. Wir haben die Freiheit, zu tun, was wir wollen. Wenn wir Leib haben für Gott, dann werden wir auch gehörsam sein. Wenn wir nicht Leib haben für Gott, dann tun wir, was wir wollen. Und das ist nicht immer reich. Wenn wir in 1. Mose lesen, dann lesen wir von Adam und Eve, Gott mögt und Gott. Aber Gott hat auch die Freiheit gegeben, zum dort tun, was sie wollen. Und er hat ihnen gesagt, der Sohn von dem Baum, ein Baum soll sie nicht essen. Aber sie dürfen doch von dem Baum essen, wenn sie haben die Freiheit, ungehörsam zu sein zu Gott. Und sie dürfen noch. So Gott hat uns in so einer Weise gemerkt, dass wir die Freiheit haben, Dinge durchzudenken, Dinge zu verstehen. Wir können uns einig werden an was wir wollen tun und auch nur tun, was wir wollen. Und das macht nicht immer so sehr nur Gott sein Willen. Und sie haben die Freiheit zu tun, so ist es wie wollen. Und wir wollen gehörsam sein zu Gott, dann können wir. Wenn wir nicht wollen, dann haben wir auch die Freiheit dort. Aber was wir dann tun, ob es reich ist oder arisch, dadurch wissen wir, wo unser Leib ist. Wir haben Leib für Gott oder haben wir nicht Leib für ihn? Aus dem Beispiel, wenn wir Leib haben für wem, dann werden wir auch gehorsam sein zu dir. Und ein Beispiel wird sein, ein Mann in der Früh, wenn der Leib hat für einen anderen, dann werden sie gehorsam sein zu einem anderen. Wenn der Leib erst zwischen der Eltern und der Kinder, dann werden die Kinder auch, wollen die Eltern das Beste haben für ihre Kinder, und die Kinder wollen dort tun, was die Eltern von ihnen verlangen. Denn. Nun, wir wissen noch, Kinder haben ihre eigenen Gedanken, und die tun einzige Dinge, was sie vielleicht nicht, was die Eltern nicht verstehen, fallen das. Aber wenn sie sich älter wollen, dann wollen sie doch an, was die Eltern haben von ihnen verlangt, als sie das rechte Ding. Und dadurch lernen sie auch, gehorsam zu sein zu ihren Eltern. Aber wenn der Leib ist, dann werden wir gehorsam sein zu dem, für wen wir Leib haben. Und Gott hat uns, sagt uns hier in Matthäus 22, er verlangt das von uns, wenn wir Leib haben für ihn, dann sind wir auch gehorsam zu ihm. Aber wir haben die Freiheit, Leib haben für Gott, oder wir haben auch die Freiheit, weich zu drehen von Gott und dort tun, was wir wollen, reich oder unreich. Und dann die Frage ist dann, für wem habe ich Leib? Habe ich Leib für Gott, für mit uns ganze Wort, ganze Seil und ganze Gedanken? Oder gehen wir ans Innere weich und tun, was wir wollen. Nun, ich will noch mehr von dort lesen, oder reden in der zweite Part von meiner Andacht von Nils Maris. Aber ehe wir bei der zweite Part gehen, weil wir nach Gott gehen am Gebet, so da wird dann kennen, weil wir alle am Stellen Gebet für Gott Hand knien. Erhört an sie Bete und sei euch gnädig.
From the blue book number 213, I know who I have believed. Number 213, for those that are able, please stand.
Love.
As in the first part of my message, in the German part, I talk briefly about our freedom to do whatever we want to do. We can have a love for God, or we can choose to turn away from Him. Now I want to talk more and more detail about the freedom of will that we have. I mean, every year, right after Easter, we have three Sundays where we present the articles that we find in our catechism. Article number 16 talks about man's freedom of will, where it talks about the freedom that we have to do whatever we want. We can love God, fear Him, be obedient to His commandments, or we can turn away from God, disobey His commandments, and do whatever we want. God has made us in such a way that we have the freedom to make the decisions on what we want to do and how we want to live. So this morning I'm not going to talk about article number 16. Instead, I'm going to talk about an example that we find in Scripture where someone chose to do whatever they wanted to do. And for that, I'm going to go to the beginning of time, Genesis chapter 1. And the first verse in Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then in the rest of the chapter, we read how God created the heavens and the earth, what He did every day, including how He made man. We go to verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. It says, "God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.' So God decided He would make a man after the image of God. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. So God made all the earth and everything in it, plus he made man, and he said, multiply and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Then in verse 31, God looked down upon what he had made, and it was very good. If we go to chapter 2, we read some more about how he made man. In verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So not only did God make man, he planted a garden and he put this man in that garden. It was like paradise. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So he put this man in this garden, but he gave them some conditions. You can eat of everything that's in that garden, except for one tree. But he also says in verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So not only did God put this man in the garden, he gave him a wife, so that he would not be alone. So they lived in this garden, and they could eat whatever they wanted except from one tree. But in that garden, there was also a serpent. In chapter 3 of Genesis, the serpent came to Eve and tempted her. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And Eve answers, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And then the serpent lies to her. Verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. God had made Adam and Eve good, without sin. But now, because the serpent had tempted Eve, she took of that fruit that they were forbidden to eat from. She ate from it, and she gave it to Adam. He ate as well. And all of a sudden, sin came into this world because they disobeyed what God had told them. And then they had to leave that garden. And God put angels at the gates of that garden with flaming swords, so that they would not be able to get in. And we read about that in Genesis 3, verse 23 and 24. Now, what is interesting in chapter 1, when God made man, he made him good. And in verse 28 of chapter 1, he said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply. and replenish the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. But not until they had left the garden were they fruitful. In the garden they were not. They had no children. But when they had to leave the garden after they sinned, they had two boys. The oldest one was Cain. He was the firstborn. The second one was Abel. He was the secondborn. And if we go to chapter 4 of Genesis, we read about that Adam knew his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a sheep, keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. So here they had two boys. Abel was a farmer. He had sheep. He raised sheep. Cain was also a farmer. He was a tiller of the soil. He planted things, and he harvested what he planted. Then in verse 3, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. Cain was very wroth, his countenance fell. So here both of them brought from the, Abel brought from the a sheep that he had raised. Cain took some of the what he had planted or what he had harvested. They both offered that to the Lord. God had respect for Abel's offering. God had no respect for Cain's offering. Now, when God made Adam and Eve, he made them good. But in the moment of weakness, after the serpent had planted the seed of doubt in Eve's mind, after he had lied to them, they saw that the tree was pleasant to look at, to be desired to make one wise. They gave in to temptation, and they disobeyed. But with Cain and Abel, it was different. They were born after Adam and Eve had introduced sin into this world. And Cain and Abel were born with a sinful nature. And they showed that when they made their offering to the Lord. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, or what he had harvested, as an offering. Abel brought of the best of the flock and the fat thereof. God had respect for Abel's offering. He did not respect Cain's offering. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now the question we can ask, why did God not respect Cain's offering? It is not totally clear in these verses. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, does that mean Cain did not have faith in God? Or was there something wrong with his offering? Now, there are different thoughts on why God rejected Cain's offering. When we read in Scripture, we read that it was not a blood sacrifice as Abel's was. And that is one way of thinking. God rejected it because it was not a blood sacrifice. And that thought comes from the book of Leviticus, where it says numerous times that a sacrifice must include the shedding of blood. Abel's did that because he had a sheep that he offered as a sacrifice. Cain's offering was what he harvested. There was no blood involved. In Leviticus 17, verse 11, it says, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Also in Hebrews 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, was that the reason Cain's offering was rejected? The problem with that thought is that Leviticus and Hebrews had not yet been written. Those are laws that God gave to Moses, and that did not happen for another 2,000-3,000 years. So those words of scripture did not yet exist. That only came thousands of years later. A second thought is that God rejected Cain's offering because of his disobedience to God, of his attitude towards God. I talked in my first message about we are to have God, love for God with our heart, soul, and our mind. The question then is, did Cain have love for God with his heart, soul, and his mind? It seems that he did not. Because if we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Somewhere along the way, Cain's works were evil, Abel's works were righteous. What is interesting is that in 1 Samuel 15, it also says, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Did Cain not obey God from the beginning of time? It seems that there was something wrong with his attitude towards God, because he was evil right from the beginning. And when we read about what happens immediately after Cain's offering is rejected, that thinking seems more feasible. In verse 5, it says, of Genesis chapter 4, it says, Cain is very angry, and his countenance fell. And then God came to him and told him in verse 6, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God tells Cain, if you do well and change your attitude, your offering will be accepted. And you have the opportunity to change your attitude. Right now, you are very angry, but you must control it. If you do not do well, then that the sin of anger lies at the door and will come into the door. It is waiting at the door, and if you do not change, it will come in and control you. That's a very important point. If Cain did not control his anger, it would control him. And that is written for our benefit as well. We must control our natural desire to sin and rule over it. That's what God told Cain. You must control your natural desire to sin, and you must rule over it, because if you do not, it will come in the door and control you. And that goes for us as well. If we do not control our things that we know are sin, it will control us. And it seems that Cain's attitude was not what it should be. And this is reinforced by what he does after that. He did not change, and he did not control his anger. Cain chose not to rule over his sin. Instead, he allowed it to control him. And he had the freedom to do so because God had made man in such a way that we have the freedom to do whatever we want to do. Cain became angry and allowed sin to come in the door, and he committed murder. He killed his brother. Verse 8. It says, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He allowed the sin of anger to control him, and he committed a worse sin. Now that does not apply only to anger. There are many other sins that are waiting at the door to come in, that can control us. Now, what came before the anger? Was it jealousy on the part of Cain against Abel, that God accepted Abel's sacrifice and did not accept his? Did that jealousy cause his anger? Jealousy is a terrible thing. It just can control you, and I have seen it happen. It can control you, and you do terrible things in spite of the fact that you know you should not be doing that. It can break up relationships. In this case, it created murder. It caused murder. It can destroy families, and I've seen that happen. One individual in a family of six, she allowed her jealousy to control her, and the family was destroyed, never to be fixed. Never. But God warns Cain, if you do not change, it will control you. And it does. Then in verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? When God asked Cain where his brother was, he does not acknowledge that he has done anything wrong. He does not acknowledge his guilt or what he has done. Then in verse 10, he says, God said to him, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Here God confronts Cain completely. He says, the blood from your brother is crying to me. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. It shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. I find this amazing. First, Cain did not acknowledge that he had done anything to his brother. But when God confronted him with all the details of what he had done, there is still no such thing as taking responsibility for a behavior. Also, there is no remorse. Instead, in verse 14, it's all of a sudden, poor me. Now I have become the victim because I got caught. I am now a fugitive and a vagabond. A vagabond is someone who is running away aimlessly with no home. So Cain acknowledges the fact that now he will no longer be at peace, but he will be a fugitive and a vagabond because God has confronted him. Not that he has acknowledged it, but God has confronted him. Now he has become the victim. And he says, now if someone finds me, they're going to kill me. Poor me. But what does God say to that? He says, no. Yes, you will become a fugitive and a vagabond, but I will put a mark on you so that no one will kill you. Verse 15, the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. The Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So God put a mark on him so that no one would kill him. But Cain was also banished from the presence of the Lord. Verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Cain would be a fugitive and a vagabond wherever he would go. And this speaks of the nature and of a sinner apart from God. There is never any permanent rest or peace unless a person is in God's presence, and Cain could no longer be in his presence. Yes, God put a mark on him so that no one would kill him, but he had to leave the presence of the Lord. But Cain had a choice. He had a freedom to choose. He could have been obedient to God, obeyed him, and controlled his anger. But he chose not to, and he suffered the consequences. And he could no longer be in God's presence. Now, this was written for our purpose, for our information. And what is interesting, we also have the freedom to choose. We can choose to do well, then we will be accepted. We can also choose not to do well and allow sin to control us. We have the freedom to do that. But what happens if we choose to allow sin to control us? Then we commit further sin. Then we have guilt, and we no longer are free of sin, shame, and guilt. And there is no more freedom. The only way to become free of that is because of what Jesus did on the cross. To become free of our sin, shame, and guilt, we need to repent and accept what Jesus did on the cross for us, because that is why God sent him to this earth, to die for our sin so that we could become free of it. And if we do not do that, we will never have freedom from our sin and guilt. When Jesus hung on the cross, he became sin. He accepted all our sin upon himself so that we could become free of it. In closing, let us bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have created us with the ability to choose, with the freedom of will. And we pray that you will also give us the desire to choose what is right, that we will have a love for you and we will make our choices accordingly. We also pray that if we make the wrong choice, then we will have the courage to acknowledge our sin, to repent of it, so that we can be forgiven and accept the grace that you have to give us so freely. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in closing, those that are able, let us kneel in silent prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Again, take the blue book, turn to page 44, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Number 44.
We have reached the conclusion of our service this morning, and I would like to thank you for being here and joining in our worship, and I will now close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And may you go in peace with the Lord.